Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our service from last Sunday's worship. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. You are always welcome at our Sunday services. Worship at Salem is at 8:30. Sunday school in California is at 9:30 with donuts, coffee, and juice available in the gym, followed by worship at 10:30. We have a nursery for your children. We'd be so excited to have you attend our Sunday service as we worship together as one family serving Christ. This morning we continue our sermon series, Unshakable Hope, based on the book by Max Lucado. The sermon title is Friend or Foe. We'll be in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, looking at what makes a person a friend or a foe in God's eyes. May God bless each of you with His power and His love this coming week. We thank you for listening.
Let us stand for the call to worship. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will be glad and exalt you.
I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Amen.
Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 206, He Lives. Will you join me in the prayer of confession? Forgiving God, we come to you into your presence, knowing we have fallen short of your desire for us. We have neglected the call and claim you have on our lives as individuals and as a community of faith. We ask for another chance to make all things new again, that we may better follow the way, the truth, and the life. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Our God is a loving God, full of mercy and grace. He sent His Son to make a pathway for our redemption. If we repent our sins and believe in Christ, our sins are forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. Thanks be to God. Amen. O Lord, open our lips.
Our special music is by Maddie and Michelle Sedgwick.
Oh, Mother, let's go down. Come on down, don't you wanna go down?
scripture reading and his sermon, The Right Thing, is by our guest speaker and our fellow church member, Alan Martinson.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 26 to 31. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and in his incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. This ends the Old Testament lesson. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her." This ends our gospel lesson. Larry said he was going to pray for me this morning, so I'm pretty well counting on that. A few years ago, we had this very story of Martha and Mary during Vacation Bible School. Carol Barber and I put on a little skit for the Bible school kids. Carol was Martha, and she brought in her pots and pans and her broom, and she got down to business. She used a table in the room for a pretend stove, and she began stirring her pots and pans and sweeping the floor, and she would go from one thing to another and back again. You could see a rather frantic look on her face. And then she would look over to where her sister Mary was with a frown on her face, and then she would go back to what she was doing. She did this several times, and each time you could see her frustration growing. She stirred the pot faster and louder. She made extra noise with the utensils, and she swept the floor with more intensity. She was just begging for someone to notice how hard she was working. Finally, the top blew off the kettle, and she couldn't hold it in any longer. Her frustrations boiled over. I played the part of Jesus, and she came over to me and said, "Jesus, do you not see that I'm doing all the work here, and Mary is doing nothing but sitting at your feet? Tell her to come help me." I responded, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about and upset over all these things. There is only one thing that is worth being concerned about. Mary has chosen the good part, and it shall not be taken from her." You know, Carol made that story come alive. And before that night was over, the kids left the room knowing exactly what the good part was. They understood what meant so much to Mary. There was no doubt that Mary and Martha were sisters, and they lived with their brother Lazarus in Bethany. Jesus had come to their house before. They were friends. There was a closeness between them. They were comfortable with each other. This was easy to see by the way that Martha showed her frustrations to Jesus. She didn't hold anything back. She let it all out. Could you see yourself being more like Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening intently to every word, content to be there and not paying attention to anything else? Or is it easier to identify with Martha? Martha was maybe a little OCD. Everything has to be just right. The house must be swept and organized. The food has to be prepared. The table has to be set. And everything has to be in its place. After all, they had an important guest, Jesus. Both sisters saw the importance of having Jesus in their home, but in different ways. Martha thought she was serving Jesus by cooking and cleaning for him, giving her full attention to the physical needs he had. And Mary just sat at his feet, giving him her full attention. You could almost see Martha being the older, more responsible sister. And Mary maybe being the younger, maybe lazier, more spoiled sister. And like older sisters and brothers sometimes do, Martha grumbled about the help or lack of help she was getting from her sister Mary. Mary was just content to be with Jesus. If we look at this story from a different perspective, we get a different take on Mary's role with the visit. The Gospel of John tells a similar story, but with more emphasis on what Mary did. In John, we read, Mary took a pound of very expensive perfume of nard and anointed Jesus' feet. And when she did this, she wiped his feet with her hair. She too was serving the Lord, but in a different way. She had a more personal relationship than Martha did. Mary wasn't being lazy. She was attending to Jesus, and at the same time, she was giving her full attention. She was expressing her love and care for him. Do we ever grumble when we feel like we've had an unfair amount of work put on our shoulders? Do we grumble when life seems unfair or we've gotten a bad break? It seems to be the popular thing to do. You see it every day on the news, people grumbling about this or that or how they can get justice or, you know, what has happened to them has put them in a poor state. I hear people grumble at work because they have to do something that someone else didn't do. I remember grumbling as a kid about other kids that had things I didn't have. Or kids that got to do things I didn't get to do. My dad gave me some good advice when I was grumbling. He always said, Alan, you don't worry about somebody else or what they have. You worry about you and be thankful for what you have. I too still grumble at times, but when I do, I often think about Dad's words and how thankful I should be. He was trying to teach me about contentment and how important it is to be content and thankful. Martha needed to be thankful for the opportunity to spend time with Jesus. She didn't realize her time with Jesus was about over. It was about to run out. He was living out God's plan and he would soon no longer be with her. She was missing the good part. I think we're a lot like Martha. We miss the good part too. We fail to be content with what God gives us. Life's full of distractions. You know, I spent my youth trying to find my place in the world, trying to figure out who I was and who I wanted to be. I spent my young adult years raising my family and working to provide for them, trying to pay for a house and save money for kids' college. I spent my more recent years planning and preparing for my retirement days so that I don't become someone else's burden. That time has went by fast. It has sailed by like it was only yesterday when the journey began. But you know, that's the way life is. We get caught up in the struggles of day-to-day living, doing the things we got to do to survive. But our time is short, too. In Psalms chapter 90, verse 4, we read, For you, 1,000 years are a passing day, and as brief as a few night hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it is dry and withered. In today's scripture, I believe Martha represents our lives today. We're so busy, focused on the tasks at hand, doing what needs to be done to survive and have a good life. We're trying to get ahead, competing in our jobs and our social lives, never content for where we are or what we're doing. We lose patience with others. We envy what they have and we don't. We think about how unfair life is. Why we can't have more and why we can't do more. We see all the things that we can have if we just work a little harder or we just get a little better job. But no matter what we have, we never seem to be satisfied. We can't find peace and satisfaction we seek in things or money. Mary represents where our focus should be, on Jesus, on our eternal life. Mary has the good part, and it won't be taken from her. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we read, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you as well." The good part is when we can put our trust in God. Trusting God has many benefits. Internal peace is a big one. Giving our worries over to him, all our cares, all our apprehensions, all our frustrations, our failures, and our pain, just give it away. We did a prayer in Bible school last week where we took our hands and we rolled our troubles in our hands. And we kept rolling and rolling and rolling until they got in a smaller and smaller ball. And then we just gave them away to God. Trusting God gives us hope. And the ultimate hope we have is eternal life. You know, it's real hard to understand eternity. It's nearly impossible for us to understand what heaven is like. We can't begin to comprehend what God is like or what he can do. Even if you compare a grain of sand to all the sand on the earth, we can't begin to understand how heaven is compared to earth. We talked a little bit about eternity a week ago in Bible school. I was asked what eternal life is, or I asked the kids what eternal life was. If you think eternal life's hard to understand as an adult, imagine what it's like for a child. At their ages, they hardly know what life is like here on earth. There is no time in heaven. Can you imagine what that's like? How many times a day do we look at our clock or set our alarms or on our calendars or our phones? Oh, and guess what? There are no cell phones in heaven. That won't break my heart. Our earthly lives are focused around time. But in heaven, there is no time. There is no tomorrow. There is no yesterday. There is no night. There are no deadlines, no alarms, no calendar settings, because there is no calendar. There are no birthdays. Every day is like a birthday. You never age. You never grow old. Every day is like a beautiful summer day without the heat. You can eat anything you want, but you don't have to. You eat because food tastes good, not because you're hungry, because you'll never be hungry. You can sleep when you want, but you'll never be tired. There will be no doctors, no pharmacies in heaven. There will be no one ever will be sick. Cancer will be no more. No heart disease, no Alzheimer's. There will be no surgeries, no hip replacements, no knee replacements. There'll be no aches and pains. The body will not hurt. It will not hold us back from doing the things we want to do. There will be no crutches, no wheelchairs, no walkers. There will be no painkillers because there will be no pain. There will be no hospitals or nursing homes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42, it says, "The body is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. I often wonder what Mary was talking to Jesus about. Was he talking about heaven? And was he talking about God's promises? Was he talking to her about his suffering on the cross and his resurrection? Don't you wonder what he said to her? Maybe he told her about her hope for eternal life. All summer we've been talking about hope. You know, hope's a funny word. It can be something you do or something you have. I remember as a kid, I hoped for things. One year I hoped for a new bicycle for Christmas. I hoped for a baby brother. I hoped I wouldn't get the punishment I deserved when I did something wrong. And I hoped that a lot. The hope we talk about today is not like those things. Our hope's much bigger. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus says, "Because I live, you will live also." He is the culmination of God's promises. He is God's promise to us. Without Jesus, we have no hope for the future. No hope beyond this life. To me, that's a scary thought. A few weeks ago, Reverend Cobb and I talked about this very thing. He said funerals are so hard to do when there's no hope. When the person who dies has no relationship with Jesus Christ, what do you say to comfort the family? There's not much you can say. You can focus on the good things they've done in their lives. You can focus on the fact that they had a family who loved them. But what happens to them next? Without hope, without Jesus Christ, this is the end of the road. There is nothing beyond this life. Nothing to cling to. Nothing for the family. There is no hope. What a waste to live life and never know Jesus Christ. To never know God's love. To never know the hope that is ours. To never have the peace and contentment that Mary had. In Revelation chapter 20 we read, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." A grim reminder of what we face when there is no hope. Is your name in the book of life? I don't know about you, but I want my name in that book. For those of us who put our hope in Jesus Christ, we hear Jesus' words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me as well. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and welcome you into my presence so that you may also be where I am." So we do not give up. We cannot give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker, but the spirit inside us is made new every day. We have small troubles for a while now, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory that is much greater than the troubles we have here on this earth. We set our eyes not on what we can see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will only last for a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. It's hard to imagine what heaven will be like. It will be like nothing we've ever experienced. Having Jesus as our hope is like nothing we've ever experienced either. Martha clearly loved Jesus. She knew him, but she failed to see the importance of his life on this earth. She failed to understand the need she had to know him better, to embrace him, to heed his every word. She was too consumed by the work she felt she had to do. She just didn't understand what Mary understood. She didn't trust him like Mary did. Mary received a blessing from the time she spent with Jesus. She had peace, she had contentment, she had hope. The hope that Jesus offers us is like unlike any gift you've ever received. It truly is the greatest gift of all. There is one thing, though, that we have to understand about this gift. We have to accept it. We have to make it ours. We have to take it for our own. We have to have faith in what we cannot see. We have to put our trust in him. We have to know in our hearts that Christ died for us. We have to realize that there is something wonderful waiting for us after this life. I have many friends and family who have made this journey, who have taken the hope offered to them, and I know exactly where they are today. I have accepted this hope for my life. It is my prayer that you have too. When I die, there will be no question for my family regarding my final destination. There will be no worry or misunderstanding about my faith or my trust in Christ. Have you made this decision in your life? Have you let things consume you like Martha, or have you, like Mary, found the good part? Once you take it for your own, it cannot be taken from you. May the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ be with you and in you now and forevermore. And may you know the peace and the joy that knowing him and trusting in him can give. He is the greatest gift you'll ever receive. Amen. Let us bow for prayer. Gracious God, it's been good to be in your house today. It's been good to share in the worship and praise your name. Father, we thank you for the hope you give us each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.